All right, we're reading from Romans chapter 4. Our topic in our series that we're presenting is possessing our inheritance. And the specific title for this today's message is, possessing our inheritance is a general series title. But receiving our inheritance is a specific title for today. If you are keeping track in your notebook, you should have a notebook. I don't know about you. I have notebooks. And those notebooks should be for your notes and everything. I don't know whether we sell those in the bookstore. Do we sell those little take notes? Okay. Those are good because they keep your notes in order. I teach series, and you can have a whole series in one notebook. And so forth and so on. Folks, you can go to Timbuktu and teach a whole Bible study for a year off of that, just that notebook. So, okay. Look what it says in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now understand, God said that Abraham would be the heir of the world. He would inherit the entire world. Verse 16, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, we are going to go a little bit further into this that we've been talking about on possessing our inheritance and receiving our inheritance this time. So now the church. This, what he's saying here is not only for Abraham, but it's for Abraham and his seed. If you belong to Christ, I belong to Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay? Now, everything you as an heir have been left is in this Bible. This is your inheritance. It's in it. New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It tells us what we have inherited as heirs. That's what it tells us. Now you see why the enemy wants to keep the thing closed. Because you can't know what you've inherited except it's in the book. And you can't have faith to receive it except you hear it. So the enemy keeps the book closed so the people don't have the faith so that he can keep the inheritance. But this is a new day. And so now he is saying in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So I don't care who you are, whether you're rich or poor or black or white, or whether you're very learned or a professor, or you're don't have much learning, whatever have you, this is by grace. Amen. See, that it might be by faith. It is a faith that it might be by grace. So the promise can be sure to all the seed, even those that are coming out of incarceration. Same promise. Same promise. I'm telling you now, this hadn't been taught like this. See, I figured it out. People, y'all don't mind if I take a few side trips here. There is no way that somebody in bondage can free somebody else. How do you deliver somebody of a nicotine demon and you're a chain smoker? Are you following what I'm saying? That doesn't happen. And I just find even in the ministry, you got to watch who you hire. Because it's amazing how many people are bound up. And when they're bound up, they unconsciously bind you up. That's if you're willing to submit to their bondage. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's why I have people, you know, somebody come up here to sing and they come up, the mic is not on. Well, now that to me, that I don't like that. I don't like that because I want that person who's going to sing to look the best possible. And that little not having that mic on might just kind of cause them to, whoa, you know, it puts distraction. Are you following what I'm saying now? I'm saying, see, so I'm out to free them. I'm out to let them look the best that they can look. But there are people that don't want you to look the best. See? And the reason why is because they don't want themselves to look the best. See? They can't operate out of a freedom if they're bound. They can't. I want everything to be the best. I want them to look the best. I want everything to be presented the best. I want the ministry to be presented the best. But when people are bound, it doesn't bother them for the ministry to be presented not the best. Because they're bound. They're bound. See, and I have a hard time dealing with the people. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a hard time, boy. I'm telling you, that is probably one of the greatest challenges that I've had as a preacher. Because, you know, I'm not used to that. I didn't come through it. I came through flying airplanes where pilots were all proficient. When you weren't, you were kicked out of pilot training. They didn't take you. You go do something else. They didn't cut any, you know, it's just, and everybody in there was sharp. Fighter pilots. I mean, other pilots too, but that's where I came through. So then I came to the computers and IBM, and they would screen everybody. I mean, they'd make sure, you know, of product they got. So I'm just saying, I came into ministry, and now it's a laid back. You know, it's anything goes. Just put it up there. Just that's where it is. And that is bondage. People don't recognize it. That could be at your company or whatever have you, or in your home. That's bondage, folks. That's a sign that person is bound. It needs to be loosed. Now, I got that out. Let's just keep going here. Praise God. I don't want the word to move forward and the ministry doesn't. You know what I mean? I don't want the word to move forward and the music doesn't. I don't want the word to move forward and the custodial services don't. I don't want the word to move forward and the ushers giving people a hard time. You know what I mean? I want everybody to be loosed. Everybody to be loosed. I don't want people mistreating people. We don't need to do that. Boy, that's a whole nother topic here. That. All right. Now, let me start back again. Okay, now I'm going to go through this. They got 31 minutes on the clock right now. I'll let you know how long they got on the clock. Okay. So you can tell your body 31 minutes and tell it that's at least that's how long you're going to be here. Okay, let's look at this. Now, what's happening? The church. Let me make a statement. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Let me come over this side. The church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. All right. One more time. Let's go to Joel, J-O-E-L. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, please. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. All right, look what it says, verse 1 and 2. I'll just read those. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain, that all of the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever like the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So you're it. There's nothing been like you, nothing after you. You're the strongest thing that's ever been in this church, in this earth ever, in terms of an institution, in terms of an entity that God has placed in this church. All right? Now, he goes on down and talks about it and talks about the church. I'll just give you some words. The church is unstoppable. The church is invincible. The church is indestructible. And the church is indispensable. Four things. Now, you can't stop the church. He said that upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, cannot stop the church. So the world has nothing in it that can stop the church's forward progress. Okay? So no one can stop you from fulfilling your destiny, come on, but you. No one. Your mama can't, your daddy can't, your kids can't, your spouse can't, your community can't, the government can't, the Republicans can't, the Democrats can't, what else do I need to name? Whatever there is, they can't stop you. Watch this. And no circumstances unless you allow them to. None. So here's Jesus. He got the disciples in the boat and said, let us go over to the other side. Am I right about it? Now, you know he was led by the Spirit of God, so that must have been his next assignment, the other side. But as he was going, what came up to stop their travel? A storm came up. What do you know in the natural can stop a storm? Come on, help me now. Nothing. All right. So here's Jesus. The disciples, they woke up him, accused him, said, don't you care that we're about to die? I'm putting it in my own words. And he woke up, he rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And then the next thing he turned to them and says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, you could have done that. Now, if he rebuked the storm, it wasn't from God. He rebuked it. It was from the devil. So the devil can stir up weather patterns, but God has something that can rise up against the weather patterns of the devil or the system that the devil has in place and bring them to a halt. So one of the things that you as a church have been sent here to do is to dismantle systems and dispossess squatters, because he's going now to the other side. And what they said after he'd done that is, what manner of what man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Hello. Romans chapter 8, are you there? Look what it says here in verse 19. If you have it, say praise the Lord. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the what? Manifestation, keep going, of the sons of God. So the whole creation is waiting for you to manifest. It's waiting for you to rise up and put things in order. Because Babylon brings chaos. The kingdom brings order. You are here to turn chaos into order. And so God is going to use you to bring to pass His will here in this earth. You're going to be doing that. Whatever you bind on earth, come on, is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is what? Loose in heaven. That means whatever you permit to go on here, God will permit. But also, whatever you forbid to operate here cannot operate here. Now, this doesn't happen if you don't believe it. If you believe it, it'll work. If you don't, it won't. We're going to talk about confidence if we have enough time. But confidence having to do with your assurance, having to do with your belief in something, having to do with boldness. When you're confident, you're bold. And when you're confident, things flow through you. I told you about the story of the man. And here he was, a man of God, and there was a child all deformed and bent up. And he said, okay, and came up to him. And he was bold in the things of God. And he spoke to that body and commanded that body to be made right or to be healed. Then he got the microphone, because people won't think you get the microphone. But he's getting the microphone and takes the microphone and put it down by the body. So that you can hear the bones cracking as they straighten out. Now, that's boldness. Here's another man of God. I'm talking about the generals now that have passed. But God's bringing something back to the church. They gave you a glimpse of glory. And what happened was the man of God said, all right, I'm going to go through some scriptures and I'm going to read them. But after I read them, if you don't see notable miracles, don't believe a word I said. And that is the same thing that Jesus did. He said, if you don't see the works of my Father, don't believe a word I said. Amen. Folks, that's the way you ought to be. Hey, wait a minute. I got a God that can fix anything. Now, He's got to flow through you, but if there's no confidence, there's no flow. I said, if there's no confidence, there's no flow. Now, what brings confidence? We discovered in Proverbs 24, knowledge. You need some more knowledge. And I'm planning to give you enough knowledge that you'll have enough confidence that when you see somebody broken down by the wayside, come on, when you see an asthma victim that can't hardly breathe, come on, you put your hand on the front and on the back of their chest and command the spirit to come out of there and command those passages to be open and command them to breathe clearly now in Jesus' name. Glory to God, I feel it myself. Now, hold it. Right now, I see some of y'all backing up. See, listen, it's not you that does it. Jesus said, it's the Father in me. He does the work. I'm just a mouthpiece. The church is able to fix anything that's broke. Doesn't make any difference what it is. Folks, I like what my wife said. She said, never intended for there to be this much preaching and these much words given out without some demonstration. No, we didn't got to the point where we just trying to give a nice sermon. Sermon? One miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. We got to come back. That's what Gideon asked the angel that came down and said, hey, I'm going to use you to set Israel free. He said, wait a minute. Now, where are all the miracles? I mean, our fathers talk about miracles. What happened to them? Well, Israel was just about backslidden. That's why you didn't see any miracles. Folks, we got to start putting a demand on the covenant of God. All right, now, so The earth is or had been under the wrong management. We now have come and we are responsible for this planet. Let's go to Daniel and Daniel chapter 2, please. In Daniel chapter 2, now we're talking about a rock or stones. I don't know whether you've ever hit a big rock in the road while you're traveling down the road or something. Man, that thing would try to tear your car up. Well, this is a stone that the builders rejected. And it's now become the head of the corner. That rock is Christ. Jesus and his anointed. You are his body. Now, what happened here, but let me just tell you this first, because I put this down here. You know that whole thing about separation of church and state? I figured that out. That is the devil. Well, y'all know that much, don't you? But he's trying to put the church on the same level as the government. Folks, you are so much higher. Matter of fact, there would be no permanent state if there wasn't a church. The church is on a whole nother level than a state. I believe, you know, I was coming back in here. We were coming this week. I had to go preach in Texas and in Miami. And coming back from Miami yesterday, or Friday night. Coming back to Chicago. I said, you know, it's overcast. I just left Miami. It was 71, I don't know, degrees. And your sun was bright. And I come back here, gloomy. I turned to my wife and said, baby, we need to order some sunshine. I said, give me a scripture for it. She said, oh, I got one. I said, what is it? He makes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. I said, that's all I need. Give me that. I'm going to make this sun come out. I'm tired of this business. I'm telling you, folks, we're just like letting things sometimes go. But God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. We said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, wait a minute. He laid it up. The sinner has done his job. He got it laid up. Well, how long are we going to leave it laid up there? Is this the right bunch I'm talking to, first? All right, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, this is when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. I think you know some of it. And the dream troubled him. He couldn't sleep. He forgot what he dreamed and also didn't understand the interpretation of it. So he asked his magicians and sorcerers and soothsayers, and they couldn't tell him because they said, hey, king, if you can just tell us what you dream, we could probably give you an interpretation of it. He said, I can't remember what I dreamed. I'm asking you what I dream, and then give me an interpretation of it. They said, well, king, can't nobody tell you what you dream and then give you an interpretation of it? No man can do that. He said, you better do it or I'm going to cut your head off, and so forth. So that troubled him, of course. And then what happened then? The word got back to Daniel. And verse 14, come on down there. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel... went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now these are his companions. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 18, and they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now, I won't go any further here. So, here's Daniel. And Daniel now is distinguishing himself. All right? This king dreamed a dream, but couldn't remember what he dreamed. And he called on some people in captivity, the Hebrews. Daniel came in and told him, hey, wait a minute, we can tell you what you dreamed. Now, he gave him time that night. God revealed it to Daniel in a night vision. That's the same as a dream. So God now is going to tell Daniel what the answer to was for the king's problem. And so now Daniel could go back and tell the king, of course, and take the pressure off. But he described the dream. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till a stone, here it is, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were in the iron of clay, that were of iron and clay, and break them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, and broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. Now, so this stone without hands smashed this image, and everything scattered. Now, what is this? These are kingdoms being destroyed. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 4 by saying, Praise the Lord. All right. Look what it said in verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, For all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt what? Worship me, come on, all shall be thine. So what does the devil want Jesus to do to him? Wants him to worship him. All right. I told you about the mountains. We've had somebody to come and preach on it. But there are seven mountains, seven pillars, seven spheres of influence. Where you've got the government, where you've got politics, where you've got this, that, and this, and that, and economy, and family, and all this. So you got all these mountains. Now, the enemy has picked people. Kings. When I say kings, I mean those who have a measure of rule. We call it the word metron. And whose thinking and ideas or ideals are most conducive to be manipulated and managed. So he's picked them. The enemy picked them. Now God picked you. And remember what he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So you are here because he chose you. You didn't get in here because you chose him. He chose you. He picked you. Well, the devil picked a bunch. And then he put them up on that mountain to control that mountain. So now we're talking about controlling high places. So the enemy's got the mountain. Whoever controls the top of the mountain controls the mountain. So the enemy wants his people to control Hollywood. Because he wants to put out what he wants to put out. He wants his people to control the economy. Because he wants to govern people's lives from the money standpoint the way he wants to do it. I mean, think about it. Today, if somebody talks about buying a car, they don't even show how much it costs. They just show you how much the payments are. Sure they do. The reason why they do is because the enemy doesn't want you out of debt. That's not a part of that mountain. The part of that mountain that keeps it so big is debt. So when you come in here and you hear from me that you can sow a seed and get a car debt-free, the first time you hear that, you might spit it out or get up and walk out. Get that out of here. Who did that preacher? Where did he come from? That's because your mind has been soaked with a Babylonian spirit. Your thinking has been perverted by something other than the Spirit of God. Now we're going to straighten your mind out. See? In Babylon has confusion. The kingdom has order. And we're going to make order out of chaos. We're going to bring it back in line with the will of God. And that's what the church came to do. Teach kingdom principles. That you can own the house debt-free. You can buy it debt-free. Now all this, wait a minute. I didn't know before I came in here. I mean, before I came into the gospel. I didn't know this. They didn't teach me this back in that church back there in Tuskegee, Alabama, when I was a kid. We owed everybody on everything. Sears, Revolve, all we did was Revolve. Everything was on everything. The bed, my bedroom set, everything. Everything. I had a renter's mentality and all of that. See? They didn't tell me I was ahead. So the enemy puts out an education. He doesn't train, for the most part, owners. He trains people to go into corporate and work. Come on, I'm preaching good now. I'm betting you saying amen. Sure, and he doesn't tell you to amass wealth. When I say amass wealth, the enemy tries to keep you just paying. You know, here's your check. You get your check at the 1st or the 15th or once a month, and then you take it, and now you got to pay your rent, got to pay this, insurance, and so forth and so forth. Pretty soon you ain't got nothing. Looking at your tithe, well, hope I can pay my tithe, so forth and so on. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to go, keep going. Now you're at retirement, and now, not you, of course, but now a person's at retirement, and when they're at retirement, now they can't even write a $5,000 check. They can't even write a $5,000. They're trying to remortgage their house. They're 66 years old and got to work at McDonald's part-time. Come on. Begging for some hospitalization. Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. Why? Because of the mountain. On the mountain, the ones that control the mountain are getting all the money. They're the ones that are holding that money. 90% of the wealth of this nation is held by 10% of the people. They got it. They're holding it. They will not give you nothing. They'll keep you. Why? Because their minds, because they're unsaved, are being controlled by the Babylonian spirit. Without God, a man cannot control his imagination. See? And he can imagine himself going broke and all that. Why? The enemy feeds that imagination. Why? To make him stingy. To make him hold on to everything he's got and squeeze that so hard till he can't even see it. Put it all up and the money, the gold is cankered and all that. It says in James chapter 5. But God is coming and he's going to strip that. See, there are some people that even took it and hid it in places. The Bible says in Isaiah 45 and verse 2, I will go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'm going to break in pieces the gates of brass. I'm going to cut the bars of iron asunder. Verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches and secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I'm the God of Israel. I'm the God of Israel. He's going into places where they have hid that wealth, and he's going to strip them. Because some of them got it offshore, they got it over here in numbered accounts, and so forth. He's going to strip that. Every house in Egypt that didn't have the blood on it got hit. Every house in this earth that don't have the blood on it is about to be a financial plague running through the house. That's why you could see one man made all that money stripped out of all the people's accounts. All those people, I mean, folks, I call their names, you'll know it, because they got stripped and they thought their money was secure. They thought they were set for the rest of their life. They could pass on something to their children, and woke up one morning broke. Not a dime. Now, some of them still got something hidden, but it ain't gonna stay hidden for long, because we're sending angels, and the angels can go and reset the computer chips. Folks, I'm just getting you ready, because I'm building your capacity, because I don't want you to get it and sit on it, because that ain't the idea. I better turn you to that. Put something right there. Are you at what? Luke chapter 4? Then put something right there with me and go with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 28. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 28. Now, if this doesn't interest you, I can understand. Your mind is still being controlled by the spirits of this world. But for those who are ready to do something for God, this is going to be some truth here. Are you with me? Look what it says here in verse 26. For God giveth, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 2. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, what? Wisdom, keep going, knowledge, and what else? Joy. But to the sinner, he's going to give what? Travail. To do what? To gather and to what else? Heap up, that he might give to him that is what? Good before God. So the sinner is on his work. I mean, he's got his mission. He know what his assignment is, and he's carrying it out faithfully. He's just stacking it up, but it's coming over. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 28. If you have that, say, praise the Lord. Look at verse 8. He that by usury and unjust what? Gain. Unjust gain increases his substance. What is he going to do? He shall gather it for him that will what? Have pity on the poor. Now come on over to Psalms chapter 82. Psalms chapter 82. Hallelujah to Jesus. Y'all got me preaching now. I didn't plan to preach this hard, but that's all right. I'm preaching myself happy. Look what it says in Psalm 82. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord. Now I'll say it out loud. Look at verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he's judging among the gods. You are the little G's now. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. How long are you going to let this go on is what he's asking. Look what it says about the poor. Do what to the poor? Defend the poor and what? Fatherless. Oh my goodness. What would it be like fatherless? Those sounds like orphans to me. I mean, there are how many orphans in the world? Last count, 153 million. Suppose God assigned those to you. I want you to take care of every orphan in the world. I want you to build orphanages all over the world. I want you to put school teachers in the orphanages. I want you to put clothes on them. I want you to take them on field trips. I want you to have to make sure they're eating. Make sure to show for. Make sure you groom them up so they can go to Harvard if they want to, or go to Princeton or Oxford. Say amen to that. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it with all that wealth you're going to get. You're going to get enough wealth that you can build a first-class orphanage. I'm not talking about something that smells bad. I'm talking about something like the Taj Mahal. I'm talking about something that when they walk through the door, they know there's somebody. That you're going to bring them up on a nice bed, a nice oak floor. I'm saying this is what you can do with money. You're not going to take all the money and just build 42 swimming pools for your backyard. What you're going to do is build you one swimming pool here, build you another one in Florida. Come on, I'm thinking about myself now. And then take that money and let's do something for the kingdom. Let's show people who God really is, that he's not broke, he's not busted, he's not disgusted, but he loves people more than anything. And I'm preaching too hard now. Oh, yeah. The money's got a mission. Yes. Now, it's a little hard for you to think that way right now because you might be a little slack. I mean, a little thin on funds, you know. But wait till you get a lot. Yes. Don't stack it up. Yes. It's called currency. Yes. Let it flow. Yes. Let it flow. Yes. The more you give, the more will be given back to you. He's talking to us. Yes. Defend the poor and fatherless. Amen. Money is a defense. Yes. Defend people's lives. Some of those orphan kids being grossly mistreated. Yeah. Grossly. Abused. Sexually. All kinds of ways. You can take them out of that. Tell them you're coming out. That's what Mother Teresa said. Got up there before the UN. She said, hey, about abortion. The whole UN got quiet. Because they came there to honor her, to give her an award. But all of a sudden, she's talking about abortion. She said, if you don't want the kids, just give them to me. She saw herself as responsible for the whole earth. That's where you are. The whole earth. From the surface to the core. You're responsible for it. And you can manage it. Because you're the strongest, most powerful institution in the world ever. You're the ones that God has been waiting for. You're it. You're it. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 4 and try to finish this up. My Lord. I didn't mean to preach that hard. Now, I want you to see something here. These mountaintops. So, here we are, devil offering Jesus this rulership, if you'll bow down. And what I told you, that whatever you worship or compromise on the way up that mountain is going to own you when you get to the top. So you may as well not bow down. Okay, now, when you don't bow, in the light and in the face of a storm, then it's when you can actually create a platform for telling people about your God. And, Lord have mercy, help me with this now, Holy Ghost. That believers who refuse to bow are the only ones capable of shifting the climate at the top of that mountain. The believer who does not bow is the only one capable of shifting the climate at the top of that mountain. All you have to do is go back and look at three Hebrews. Notice they wouldn't bow down. And when they wouldn't bow down, notice what happened. The fire wouldn't burn them. Notice what happened. They came out. Nebuchadnezzar took the people he took them and he told everybody, I'm putting out a decree that nobody's supposed to speak against your gods, and your gods are the gods, and so forth and so on. Look at Daniel, what he did. He got promoted. The people who tried to set Daniel up got thrown in the lion's den, and the lion ate them all up. I'm saying, look at the promotion that comes in your life through persecution. Persecution is only hell announcing your promotion. That's all it is. Okay. So to get to the top, remember, you must pass through a carefully crafted temptation. It's been crafted with your name on it to get to the top of that mountain. Can you make it? I understand. God is our deliverer, and he can't plunder the strong man's goods except you first bind the strong man. Okay, so you will have to get to the top of that high place. Also, I don't want to stop right there. Let's go to one more place. Let's go now to Matthew. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's go to I got the end of this. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, and that leaf don't want to turn. You know, I mean, praise the Lord. All right, let's just look at this. All right, let's kind of wrap this up and let's go into it. Okay. Back in Daniel, I showed you where Daniel and the three Hebrews had the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's dream that the wise men of Babylon did not have. All right? Hear what I'm going to say, because I'm going to just say it. I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to just say it. God is planting you in the world. And if you want to write the reference down, it's John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. It says, Jesus said, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that thou shalt keep them from the evil. So Jesus himself even prayed that you don't come out of the world. The church is not designed to be detached from the world. There is something in the world that can trigger an anointing that's on the church to push the church up top. As you have sent me into the world, even so now also I send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. That's verse 19. So we're going to be sanctified. Now, notice the extraordinary performance of Daniel and the Hebrews. They had answers that other folk didn't have. Now, notice it created a platform sufficient to offer an opinion regarding God. I'm going to say that again. Your extraordinary performance will create a platform sufficient to offer an opinion regarding your God. Folks, When I was in IBM and I was using this word, and there, when that here was an economy that was flat, nothing was selling, all the managers, we were going out having a pity party at lunchtime, and God spoke to me and said, now listen, you get out of that. You have this word and you use this word. And I start studying that, and my sister called that day and said, hey brother, how you doing in sales? It was the last day of the month. I said, without me even thinking about it, it came out of my inside. I'm doing great. And if you call me back this afternoon at 5 o'clock, I'll have so much business I won't even be able to put it on the books. Now, where that came from, only God knows where that came from, because I not only was flat, I was negative business. I had to come up to zero first. And so how I was going to get there between 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock, I didn't know. But I had to say something. Come on, you got to be with me now. You got to be with me. See, you got to take Jesus public. And so now I stepped out on that. So once I stepped out on that, now 12 o'clock, my salespeople start calling. Carol start calling. Bruce start calling. Hey, we just got an order. Bob's calling. We got that. So boom, they brought in all the next thing. I said, come on, bring it in. At 5 o'clock, I'm booking so much business to my boss. Looks over my shoulder. He said, Bill, that's enough. We don't need enough anymore for this month. Let's save some for that next month. He thought he wasn't going to get any more next month. Let's save some. Now, I had enough business for me, for the Warrenbeck, for Adrian, for all. I had enough business for everybody, and they booked it on the book. Boom, it was gone. Now, what happened? They start asking me about what I'm studying in the Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I have just created a platform that is sufficient. You got to hear what I'm saying. And I'm saying he'll do the same thing through you. But it's going to come by faith, and only by faith, that it might be given as an act of grace. Unmerited favor. That you in your right had you can't earn what God is going to give you. See, anything from heaven, you can't earn it. And he can't earn it. So what you have to do is by faith get it. So now God's going to give you wisdom that the world doesn't have. Why? Because you're under a covenant of distinction. I'm preaching hard now. You're under a covenant of distinction. He's going to show people who you really are. Because you're not just Joe or Susie or whoever. You're the manifestation of the sons of the living God. And you're the ones that are coming in this earth not to take sides, but to take over. And you're going to show people who God is really like and represent him to a lying and dying world. They think God took their child. They think God stripped their business. They think God, and he didn't have anything to do with it. You're going to let them know that God loves them, that God, you know what I'm saying, praise God. So now, what am I saying to you? That there is a better approach to your assignment. Let me say it another way. There is a better way of doing whatever you're doing presently. Because what we've done as a church is we've lined up behind the world. We're marching in the same parade that the world's marching in. We are trying to get it intellectually and not get it revelationally. You see, you can download, oh Lord, folks, I'm trying to upgrade my tennis game. And I was on that trip, and God said, well, why don't you use the word? I said, yeah, I can use the word. Now, what am I doing? Now, if you know anything about tennis, it's levels. It's level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. I want to go to 5. Now, that's hitting that ball. And I said, hey, how can I get there? I said, okay. I think I'm going to just download 5. Y'all still looking at me like a cow at a new gate. I'm saying it's by grace. You can download some stuff that you didn't have to go through the world's system, the world's way of spending time toiling, hoping that it comes so far. You remember the movie Matrix? She said, there's a helicopter over there. They said, can you fly it? She said, just a minute. Hello, come, no, headquarters? Yeah, download Huey 42. She said, I can right now. See, that was a revelation, man. You got to hear me. Come on, are you with me here? We're out of time, folks. We don't have 10 years for you to learn it. We got to download some stuff right now. Sitting beside somebody who doubting what you say and so forth. All you got to do is look at Exodus 31, Exodus 35. They came out of bondage. They didn't know how to make the temple in the wilderness. They didn't know how to carve those stones. They didn't know this. And God downloaded. He just downloaded wisdom on them. Well, if he'll do it for them, he's the same God. He said, hey, king, give me a night and I'll tell you what you dream. He went home, shared it with his boys. They all agreed together. Daniel went to sleep. You see, if God can't speak to you when you're awake, he'll come to you in a dream. He'll give you all the pattern. Y'all got to get this. You hear what I'm saying? He's going to have you running that business that the world's going to look at how you running that business and say, how are you doing this? Tell him you got a few minutes. His name is Jesus. He's the head, the author, the finisher, the alpha, the omega, the beginning, the end, the good shepherd, the wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a rock. He's a... Oh, Pastor, that's impossible. Not with God. It's impossible with men. But with God. Come on now, with God. Who's with God up in here? Last place. So I got to get this now because I'm under a covenant of distinction. And my gift's going to make room for me and bring me before great men. And he's going to give me extraordinary performance that is going to create a platform sufficient to offer my opinion regarding God. And they're going to call me to the White House. They're going to call me to the Senate. They're going to call me to the business capitals of the world. They're going to call me to Wall Street. They're going to call me, come on, to the educational institution. They're going to call me to a Harvard business seminar. Come on, they're going to call me to these places. Why? Because I'm a manifestation of the sons of God. Last place. 1 Corinthians, one more time. 1 John. 1 John, chapter 5. Are y'all with me? Now, this message came out of the Holy Ghost. So I probably can't duplicate this one. So this one, you're going to have to get, you follow what I'm saying? This one came out of the Holy Ghost. I said this one came out of the Holy Ghost. See, we've been marching too close by the world. See, we're trying to compete with the world. Compete with the world. Folks, what we're supposed to be operating makes the world look inferior. They're going to be looking up. How y'all doing that? Well, just be cool. We'll show you how to do it. All right, now how's it going to come? By faith. Look what it says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence, O Lord, that we have in him. Come on. That if we ask, come on, anything according to his will. Come on. He hears us. And if we know, keep going, that he hears us, whatever we ask, come on. We know that we what? Come on, we know that we what? All right. In order for you to transfer your inheritance, which includes wisdom, you're going to have to leave the realm of the senses. You'll have to leave your emotions. You're going to have to leave your sight and sound. In other words, nothing of the natural is involved in this realm because it's the sense realm. Real faith believes the Word of God alone with no sense evidence. It's called the faith of Abraham. So now we're going to another level. Nothing our senses can contact now is involved. We're going to have to believe something that we cannot see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. Nothing of the senses now that are contact, can contact, that are, can be involved in this. So now, he says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe, not feel, watch this, not understand, just believe. Believe what? You receive it, and you shall have it. When do you believe you receive? When you pray. Don't say now, because now can be tomorrow. When you pray. You believe you receive when? The moment you pray, you what? Believe you receive. Believe you receive what?
Whatever you believe.
Whatever you desire. Now, if you believe you receive when you pray, you shall what?
Have
it. You got it? No feelings in it. This is where most Christians get off the boat, because they still want to feel something. No, faith is believing the Word of God alone and acting like it's true. So if you believe that you received it when you pray, will you pray again?
No.
Why? Because you already have it. Got it? Now, if I give you something and you receive it and already have it, what is your response to me?
Thank you.
That's all you got to do. Got it? And you shall have it. Now that's your future right there. It'll manifest in your life. Who said that? Jesus did. This is a confidence that you have in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he heard you. And if you know that he heard you, whatever you ask, you know you have it. And if you know you have it, you won't ask for it ever again. The only reason you'll ask for it again is because you didn't know you had it. Lock it in. Say, I got it. It's going to manifest because I've got it. It's mine and I want it right now. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Take your seats, please. Listen, before you move now, amen, we got to help get these souls in. Praise God. Amen. All right. I'm like Aretha now. Can I get a little respect on here? Praise God. All right. Who's here and God sent you here and you know you're not right with God? And the Lord is speaking to your heart about being born again. This is a wonderful time.